Well, this is the last Sunday of 2015, as we've already been reminded. 2016 is just around the corner. And what I'd like to do today is something similar to what we did on the last Sunday of last year, a little bit different, but similar. And that is, rather than preach a message per se, I'd like to just share a couple simple kind of devotional thoughts around a very short passage of Scripture. But then I want to give you an opportunity to share. And because I think it's a great way to do what the Scripture says, which is to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. And one of the most effective ways to do that is to hear from one another. So we're going to take a moment to do that in a moment. And then I want to end the service by us breaking up into small groups and spending some time in prayer. Before we do that, though, let me just read this passage of Scripture to you. It's from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian church. It's chapter 5, and it's verses 16 to 18. And I'm reading from the New International Version. This is what Paul says. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, before Jim shared and prayed for the offering this morning, he shared a word that, and he did it in the first service as well, but prior to hearing it in the first service, I didn't know what he was going to say, and he had no idea where I was going to go this morning in terms of the Scripture. But he talked about trusting God, and he talked about the will of God. You know, sometimes figuring out the will of God is not that easy, at least for me. I don't know about you, but there are times when figuring out the specifics of God's will in a particular scenario is not easy for me. And I think there's at least some of you out there for whom that's probably true as well. But then there are other times where the will of God is so clearly declared in God's word that I don't need discernment. I don't really need anybody else's help, actually, because God is so clear about what his will is that there's no way of not getting the message. And this is one of those places. Let me read it again and listen carefully. There's no slides this morning for this. Just use your ears and listen. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. So those are the three injunctions. Those are the things we're told to do by Paul. To be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. And then he says this, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, that's where you are. You are in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ Jesus, God's will for you is that you be joyful always, that you pray continually, and that you give thanks in all circumstances. That is God's will for you. That's what his authoritative, unchanging revelation that we refer to as his word declares to us is the will of God for each of us. And it's as much the will of God for us today, individually and corporately, as it was for those to whom Paul was writing a couple thousand years ago. Because God's word does not change in that respect. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, as is the one who is living word that this word speaks to. So, as we come, let me say one other thing. Paul doesn't say, give thanks for all circumstances, does he? You listen carefully. You know, the Word of God, it's important to pay attention to what the Word of God says and what it does not say. He doesn't say, give thanks for all circumstances. No, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Look, there are a lot of circumstances that come our way in life that we don't want to give thanks for. Because even though I believe in the sovereign superintending work of God, there are a lot of other entities at work in this world. Sometimes circumstances that are the result of our own stupidity and sin. Sometimes circumstances are have a lot to do with a conspiratorial work of darkness or the dysfunction of the world in which we find ourselves. There are all kinds of factors that lead into our circumstantial reality. So Paul doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. He says give thanks in all circumstances. And that's not just a semantic little play on words. There's an important spiritual truth there. Look, in Romans 8:28, Paul says that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. He doesn't say all things are good. All things are not good. All things work together for our good because of the redeeming work of God's sovereign grace through the Spirit in and around our lives. And Paul here says, give thanks in all circumstances. Even when the circumstances are not something to be heralded as good, still give thanks. Go to a place empowered by the grace of God that's greater than your circumstantial reality. That's what he's saying. Sometimes I find it really hard to be always joyful. And notice he doesn't say always be happy. He says always be joyful. Happiness is not the same as joy. Joy is something that comes to us through the Spirit that strengthens us, as Nehemiah said. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It anchors us into the reality of God even when we're not happy. You can be joyful even when you're not happy. Because happiness is often driven by circumstantial realities. Joy is not or should not be. It comes from the fact that we're anchored into Christ. So be joyful always. Pray continually. And we have these concepts of what prayer may be. Prayer in this sense, obviously he's not saying, 24/7, 365 days a year, you're going to be in an intercessory prayer meeting. He's talking about the fact that your disposition toward God is one in which you're engaged with him. You're hearing God, and then you're engaging with him, which is really what prayer is. So be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. It is God's will for you and for me in Christ Jesus. So I just felt at the end of this year, not only to exhort my heart and yours to this truth, but as we think of the year that's just ending and the one that's just coming, this is an opportunity for us to build one another up in the most holy faith, as the scripture says, by hearing from one another, testimony, sharing the truth of the reality of what God has done in and around our lives or in the lives of others that we know and love, in the year that's coming to an end. To encourage one another to the very thing that Jim talked about earlier, which is a renewed and greater depth of trust in our God for the year that's ahead. So the Lord's really weaving these things together this morning, I believe. And I want to give you an opportunity to come and share. Let me just say this before you do. The mic is live. It's up here. It is on, yes. And you can come and share as you're ready. I just want to say this. Keep what you're going to share relatively brief. There are a lot of people here. I don't know who's going to respond. And so we want the full impact of what you have to say, but we kind of want the Reader's Digest version. That really ages me. Like, a lot of you are thinking, Reader's Digest? What is that? Okay. We need the smaller version instead of the expanded, amplified edition of your testimony of God's faithfulness, okay? But we really do want to hear this morning. It'll build up our faith. It'll feed our spirit. It will increase our faith and the degree to which we're able to trust God, okay? So the mic is here, and just remember that what you're sharing needs to strengthen and comfort and build us up. But when you're ready, come, take the mic, and share. And if there's silence for a while, don't be threatened by that. Don't think, oh, this is awkward. Nobody's getting up. Let's just, if that happens, let's just kick in with the Holy Spirit and let God do what he wants to do. Use that time to pray, to contemplate, to engage with God. All right? And then after we've heard some testimonies and people have shared, we're going to just end our service with some corporate prayer together, but in groups, okay? So when you're ready, come, the microphone's on. We're good to go, right? Yeah.
Good morning. I just want to tell you how much I love my church family. Yeah, but this morning I had pain in my shoulder and it's gone. Yeah. I love you. God bless.
Couple things quick, because one of them was from this morning when I was in prayer, but I want to tag on to that scripture that Mario read, because something's been kind of, I read something this week and it's just kind of keep coming back to me, and it tags on to that scripture. It's out of Isaiah 12 and it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And we know that word salvation is not just being saved, going to heaven. It means saved, healed, delivered, made whole. So I think, but it's with joy that we draw from that. And that just really stuck with me. The other thing this morning, as soon as I sat down to pray, I immediately thought about David and Ziklag, and I thought about the scripture that says, and then David strengthened, or sometimes they say encouraged himself in the Lord. And I thought, you know, I'm like, yeah, okay. So I pulled it out and was reading it. And I really felt like the Lord, and I took it for me, and I didn't feel any sense to share it earlier until now. I didn't know you were going to do this. But the Lord said, what do you think would have happened if Dave, because remember it says, and then David inquired of the Lord. He said to the high priest, to the priest, he said, bring me the ephod, you know, which I was looking at the ephod and the linen and all that stuff. But the point was that he pursued the Lord when it wasn't good circumstances. Remember, Ziklag had been burned, and they had stolen their wives and everything. The Amalekites had come in and really raped and stolen everything from them. So, but David didn't run out immediately and say, let's go get him, you know, before all the guys wanted to stone him because they were so upset. But he stopped, and he pursued the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And then I felt like the Lord said to me, what if David didn't do that? And he just said, oh, and he just had a pity party, sat in the corner and just said, that's it. They're gone. We're done. But it was his obedience. And what the Lord said to me was, don't forget, everyone has power because of the power I give them when they are obedient. And I'm was taking this obviously first for myself, but I don't know if what he said was don't think that obedience is a small thing. And I just felt like maybe somebody else needed to hear that besides me.
Good morning. I just wanted to briefly share something that happened a week ago. Back in October, I went on a trip to New Brunswick, Canada with an aunt and my sister. We've been tracing our genealogy and on my dad's side, and it led us to an area in New Brunswick where the Tobik Indian Reservation is. And so we'd never been there before, and we went, we got there, we didn't know what we were gonna do. And I was driving, and I saw an open sign at the end of this driveway. And so I pulled in, and it said Barb's Kitchen. So I pulled in, and I said, come on, let's go in. And my aunt and sister were really nervous. No, we don't know these people. I said, it will be fine, let's just go in. So we went in, and it's uncanny, but we made an instant kinship with the people that live there, almost like family. And we spent the remainder of our time there around their kitchen table for a couple days. We stayed in a hotel, in a motel, but every day we spent around their kitchen table. And the first day we met, Barb is her name, she shared that her 41-year-old daughter had cancer, and that she had ovarian cancer and bowel cancer, and that she had been in remission for that past year, and that it came back with a vengeance, and that they didn't think she only had a few months left to live. She looked like she had anorexia. Instantly, I knew there was a bigger purpose for us to be there. So we met her when she came in. Her name was Cheryl, and we said hello and everything. And we went home. We went home a few days later. And a couple weeks ago, we felt that we really needed to go back. And so we went back, and we didn't tell her we were coming. And I don't like doing surprise things like that, but we really felt like we were supposed to just go. So we went back to visit. We thought maybe she had passed away. But we got there, and the last day that we were there visiting, she walked in, and she, once again, was very frail. And this kind of goes along with what Sherry was saying about being obedient, because sometimes it's that still, small voice, and sometimes we think we put too much thought into things when God's just telling us that he wants us to do something. You know, even when Jesus went and he raised Lazarus from the dead, he told the people to move the stone. You know, so sometimes we need to, like, get out of our comfort zone. So anyway, we're getting ready to leave, and Cheryl walked in, and I asked her how she was doing, and she looked at the floor and said she was really scared. That was the day she was going to the hospital, 4-hour drive, to find out whether or not they could do a radical surgery on her, and it would only prolong her life for a couple months. They couldn't do anything more for chemo or radiation, and it was just going to prolong it. So she was really, really nervous about going. And sometimes we can get really scared about asking people if they want us to pray for them. But I knew this was our shot, and I just said, would you like us to pray for you? And she said, yeah, that would be okay. And she was just really depressed and resigned, and she sat looking at the floor, and she said, you know, God said that he will never give us more than we can handle. And she said, and I can't handle anymore. I just can't take any more than what I'm going through right now. And I just felt an overwhelming compassion for her, like just really just this compassion. So we went over, and I put my hand on her back and just rubbed her back. You could feel all her bones, and just kept rubbing her back, and I just prayed that God would just come down like a blanket, that he would just enter the room and that she would feel it, that we would all feel his presence like a warm blanket, and she would feel peaceful, and that he would just take this cancer away from her, and that he would give her healthy cells, and that this would be the best Christmas that she would ever have, and that she would have many more Christmases. And so, you know, instantly her mood changed, and we left, we went home, and the next day, Barb called me and said that, you know, she went to the hospital, spent the night, and they can't find any more cancer. Her cancer was gone. And all that was left is a little benign tumor where the cancer was. I say that because even as Christians, we can tell each other stories like that, right? And I've been on both sides. I've seen miracles, and I've had people share unbelievable healings with me, even though I've been the recipient of healings. But you can see the doubt come over their eyes. Like when you're sharing a testimony, it's almost like they're thinking, did that really happen? There must be another explanation. And believers, I'm guilty of it. But I can tell you it really happened. And she's like blown away. She's going to live. And she doesn't have cancer anymore. And the whole, I guess the whole meaning to this is that God wants us to be the ones that get up and move those stones when he tells us to. And it doesn't mean that there's always going to be a healing. You know, we've all lost people from cancer. But do we stop praying for them and asking? Because, you know, you could pray for 500 people and none of them, you might not see any kind of physical healing. But it's that 501st person that God could miraculously come down and heal. So we all have a decision that we need to make. And mine this year, really, this has just changed me dramatically to really, I mean, I know God is a miracle-working God. I've seen that throughout my life. But cancer, like, you know, she had a death sentence, you know, and cancer has to bow at the name of Jesus, you know. And it's not just cancer. It's every single sickness and affliction that we suffer from. So I just want to encourage you. We're all going through things, and doesn't mean that everybody around us is going to get healed, although God could do that. But just listen to that still small voice when he gives you that little nudge, that push, and he puts you in those positions. Don't be afraid to pray and ask for healing.
That is an awesome testimony. Wow, thank God for that. That's huge. Listen, I'm sure there are a lot of other people that have things that you could share right now, but I do want us to spend some time in prayer. It's already 5 to 12, so I do want us to break up into some groups. And thank you to each of you that shared the things you've just shared. That's fed our spirit. It really is a stimulus to our faith, and it fits into the reality of having that joy and being able to trust God. And there's a reason why Nehemiah says it's the joy of the Lord that's your strength. The joy of the Lord is a sustaining reality in our lives. Even when superficial happiness fleets away because of circumstances and things, joy anchors us into Christ with the kind of faith and trust that can see God do what is the miraculous to those of us in time, but which for him is really the norm. So what I would like to do right now is I'd like us to just stand and break up into groups of maybe 4 or 5 people. And if you're not comfortable with this, as we were just exhorted to, step outside your comfort zone, get together with some other people, even if you don't know them. You're one in the Spirit in Christ. And let's just spend a few minutes praying with one another, for one another, and with one another, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, okay? I'm not going to prescribe what that should be. So can we just stand and do that, get together with a few people, and we're going to pray for a few minutes, and then I'll close us out.